Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the exhortation of Eliphaz as we pick up in Job, chapter 5, verse 8. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now his recommendation to Job. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. God which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Man, I would just really seek God if I were you, Job. I would just commit my cause to God. Good advice, really. Nothing wrong with this. I think that, in fact, this is probably the best thing to do in the time of calamity and trouble is just seek the Lord and commit the cause to God. For God does great things, unsearchable things, marvelous things without number. He gives rain to the earth and sends the waters upon the field. And he's listing the things, the marvelous things and the wonderful things that God does. And of course, living in this desert area, rain was such an important thing. It's the first of the blessings that they think about in that arid area. He sets on high those that be low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappoints the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprises. And so now he's beginning to subtly indicate that Job is a crafty character. And he disappoints the devices of the crafty. He takes the wise in their own craftiness. And the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and they grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saves the poor from the sword and their mouth from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, Job, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise thou not the chastening of the Almighty. Now, of course, this is picked up in the Proverbs. Solomon probably picked it up from the book of Job, which he no doubt had access to, for the book of Job was in existence long before Solomon. And it's also picked up in the book of Hebrews. And it is, again, the counsel of Eliphaz was good. Seek God, commit your ways to God, and despise not the chastening processes of the Almighty. Happy is the man whom God corrects. Happy because the fact that God is correcting me is a indication and proof that I am a child of God, that God does love me. Correction, discipline, is an act of love. Your child is doing things that are self-destructive or can be destructive, hurtful, harmful to your child. For you to just allow your child to go on doing those things is not demonstrating love. The demonstration of love is that of disciplining your child, training your child, turning your child away from those things that are harmful and destructive. He makes sore and bindeth up. He wounds and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven. There shall no evil touch thee. Now, this is a method of their their poetry. We get this quite a bit in the Proverbs. Six things does God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. In two things, and yea, in three. And so it is really referring to sort of an indefinite number. In famine, he will redeem you from death. In war, from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. And these words here are different from those above. Destruction and famine is dearth here. Thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. God delivers. Thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with you. And thou shalt know that your tabernacle shall be in peace, or your dwelling place, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that your seed shall be great, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. Grass of the earth being a phrase like the sands of the sea. It's sort of the blades of grass, innumerable number. Thou shalt come to thy grave in full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, and so it is. Hear it, and know it for your good. Okay, Job, just listen to this now. But Job answered and said, now Job is responding to Eliphaz, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamities were laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. If you would weigh, if you would put in the balances, on the one side my grief and my sorrows, and on the other side of the balances, you would put all of the sand of the sea. My grief and sorrows are so great, they would outweigh all of the sand of the sea. I mean, this guy's calamities are pretty tough. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. God has smitten me. He's blaming God for the calamities that he is experiencing. The arrows of the Almighty are within me, and the poison whereof drinks up my spirit. Now, in those days, poison arrows were sort of like gas warfare today. They were outlawed by the League of Nations Convention in Geneva, but not all of the nations abided by the ban. And in the time of Job, the Scythians were known to use poisoned arrows in their warfare. And so he says, the poison of these arrows, the arrows of the Almighty, drinks up my spirit, and the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth a wild ass bray when he has grass? Or loath the ox over his fodder? In other words, when the ox is out there, you know, lowing, mooing, it's because he's wanting food. You go out in the evening before the farmer feeds them, and you hear them, you know, as they're just lowing. And once the farmer throws the food in, then they're too busy eating to complain or to let out with their noises. And the same with a donkey. If he's got in a grassy field, he's busy eating. He's not braying out there in the grassy field. So a man doesn't really cry out unless there's a problem, unless there's something to cry out over. Man, I've got problems. I have a right to make a noise. And then he says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Just how this fits in, I really can't tell you. I do know that every once in a while, my mom used to forget to put the salt in the oats in the morning, and they really tasted flat. The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing I long for. Oh, if God would just do this for me, the thing that I'm longing for. God would just give me my request. What is your request, Job? Even that it would please God to destroy me. I just wish God would just take my life. There comes a time when living becomes more miserable than death. You get so low you're afraid you're not going to die. It's interesting that there have been others who have really called for death. Elijah despaired of his life. He wanted the Lord to slay him. Jonah, when he went to Nineveh and the Ninevites repented, he was angry with God. He went out and sat under the tree. He said, just kill me. Just get it over with. Just kill me, you know. And here is Job desiring death. Oh, if it would please God just to destroy me. I'm certain that many times when a person says, oh, I wish I were dead, they don't truly mean it. I think that sometimes the cry for death is not sincere. It's just a phrase that we use. But I think that Job was serious. I wish that God would just grant me the thing I long for, that he would just destroy me. That he would loose his hand and cut me off. That he wouldn't sustain my life any longer. He let me go, just cut me off. Then I would have comfort, and I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? I don't have any strength. Why should I hope in life? Hope was gone. What is my end that I should prolong my life? What have I got to look forward to? Why should I live any longer? There seems to be nothing at all to look forward to in life. Is my strength the strength of stones? Is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is not wisdom driven from me? Now in rebuke to Eliphaz and his speech, he said to him, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. You don't even have the fear of God, man. You know, you really should be showing me pity if you're a friend of mine. But my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook and as a stream of brooks, they pass away. As some of these little streams that flow in the wintertime and in the spring but soon dry up. That's what you guys are like. You are blackish by reason of the ice wherein the snow is hid. And what time it waxes warm, you'll vanish. When pressure and there's a need, then you're not there. When it's hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked, and the companies of Sheba waited for them. And they were confounded because they had hoped, and they came thither and were ashamed. For now you are nothing. You see my casting down, and you're afraid. You see my condition, and, you know, did I say, come unto me? Did I call you? Who called this meeting? You know, I didn't call you guys to come. Did I ask you for anything? Have I asked you to give me something of your substance? Give me a reward of your substance? Did I ask you to deliver me from my enemy's hands, to redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Look, guys, why are you here? I haven't asked for you to come. I mean, if that's all you've got to offer, teach me, he said. Teach me something. Tell me something worthwhile and I'll hold my peace. Cause me to understand wherein I've erred. Don't just call me a sinner. Tell me where. Show me where I've gone wrong. Give me something worthwhile. Give me some true instruction. And then he said, how forcible are right words. But what does your arguing reprove? In other words, man, yes, right words are very forcible. They're powerful. They're strong. But you're just a bag of wind, man, is basically what he's saying. Read on. Verse 26. Do you imagine to reprove words and speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? I mean, your words are just as empty as wind. You're just a windbag. Yes, you overwhelm the fatherless and you dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yes, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the perverse things? Hey, I understand what you're saying. I know what you're accusing me of. You know, I'm a child. Chapter 7. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Remember Ecclesiastes? There's a time and a place for everything. A time to cry, a time to be merry, a time to be born, a time to die. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Yes, there is. The Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die. Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? You hire a man to serve for a period of time. As a servant earnestly desiring the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work. Talking about life. Living as sort of a hireling, you wait for the end of the day, for the reward for your work. Looking at the shadow, of course, he's talking about the sundial, the shadow going over on the sundial. The guy who is working, watching the clock, is what he is saying. Waiting for the end of the day so I can get paid for my work. And in those days, they all got paid at the end of the day's labor. So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. He's been going through this affliction for a long time, months of this emptiness. The nights are weary. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? I'm full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My life is one miserable existence. There's no rest even at night. I toss to and fro and I think, oh, when will it be light? When will it be day? My flesh, and he begins to describe his horrible, loathsome condition. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. As this stuff would ooze out, it would just cake, and these the dirt would stick to it, clods of dirt. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is just wind. What is life? The Bible says it's but a vapor that appears for a moment, or this wind that just passes by. Life is so short. The older you live, the more you realize that. The longer you live. You know, when your children are growing up, it seems like they're forever with you. But how quickly they are gone. How quickly my grandchildren are growing up. And you realize the shortness of life, the brevity of the time that we have here. My life is just as a wind passing by. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath, and this is a statement of real hopelessness. I'll never see good again. Now, again, this is a cry of desperation that is uttered because he can't see ahead. He doesn't really know what lies ahead. So many times when we get in these places of deep depression, we are convinced that I'll never have another good day as long as I live. You know, you get in this thing where you think, I wonder, you know, what it would be like to ever feel good again. You know, this is the lot for the rest of my life. You know, this is come to stay. This thing of deep despondency that leads to despair. It's because you don't know the whole story. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what God has in store. Job didn't know that the best days of his life were still ahead. I mean, when we get to the final chapter, you know, as the whole cycle is fulfilled, then we see the final outcome of this, and we realize that Job is just crying out of desperation and out of deep depression because of the problems that he's been facing. And we are prone at that time to make wrong judgments. Isn't it interesting? They talk about the relativity of time, and I'm certain that time is relative. It goes so fast when you're having fun, and it drags when you're suffering or do something you don't like, you know, and it just, time just drags. But then, you know, you're into something, you're very excited, and whoop, there goes the whistle, it's all over. Oh, no, can't believe it, you know, time flies. And the relativity of time.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Job in our next lesson, as we follow His Suffering Without Comfort. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and strengthen you and bless you and keep you in all your ways as you walk in fellowship with Him. May your life be enriched in the fullness of that mercy and grace that He has extended towards us through Jesus our Lord. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. Strengthened by the Lord, may you abound in all things in Christ. To the glory and the praise and the honor of our God, our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name.
Kids, I've got some exciting news. Pastor Chuck has written a book just for you called The Story of David and Goliath. Just listen.
David had many older brothers. His brothers were big and strong and tough enough to fight in a battle.
It's so much fun to read along with Pastor Chuck and learn about God's word.
God help me to slay the lion and the bear, so God will help me to slay this giant.
Lions?
Bears?
Goliath?
Oh my!
And parents, it's never too early to start reading to your children these timeless Bible stories taught by Pastor Chuck. Imprint God's word upon their little hearts as you read these stories over and over again. And as a gift, each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck actually reading the story of David and Goliath so your kids can read along. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or see a sneak preview of the story of David and Goliath, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.